I'm in your heart always, that much is true. I'll always love you, I promise you too.
Everybody, this is Richard Sachs. This is Lost Arts Radio, and we have our guest that we've been wanting to come back on the show for a while. This is Celeste Solem, a friend of ours and close associate who worked in FEMA as an insider. We'll let her decide how much to specify about that, and we've had lots of questions for her, and we're going to primarily look at an update since we talked to her last, which was a little while ago, and then not end without looking at responses and solutions and countermeasures and things like that. Because everybody's always wondering, what can I do under whatever circumstances we're in? Because you're going to do something anyway, might as well do it consciously and make a decision as well as you can. And anyway, so welcome, Celeste. It's really a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you again. Thanks for being
here. And it's great to be here as usual.
So, you know, since I barely introduced you, do you want to tell the people who are seeing us for the first time what you did in FEMA as much as you can? And
okay, so, I worked in emergency management for a number of decades. And of course, I did Y2K, I did 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, earthquakes, floods, terrorism, you name it. All around, you know, I was working on a template for plans. So I worked very closely with the plans. And so when I see plans in the field of what we're all seeing right now playing out before our eyes, I can recognize those plans and point people to the places in the plans. So I think I was born for this time and this season, and really I get to do my passion that I love, and that's giving people truthful information, and I get to do that now, which to me is a real blessing.
Right. So one of the primary skills that's of great value that you're bringing is the ability to know what documents are saying when they're not necessarily written to be clear for the average person.
Right. A lot of things are coded that come from the government and the military. So I've been, during this whole year, I've been training people how to recognize those codes. And then they can do it for themselves. And they're actually having great fun because now the politicians and people in the military are not pulling the wool over their eyes. They can see it clearly. And once you really do understand the codes, you never can undo it. It's not, you always see it playing out before us.
Yes. And just so that we're as inclusive as possible, I want to remind people that wanting to know what's true doesn't have to classify you as right or left on the political spectrum. It's just a matter of whether you want to know what's going on. And a lot of one of the tactics that the media uses very frequently is to say, oh, well, such and such is just extreme right wing, or I haven't actually heard them say extreme left wing about anybody, but I have heard a lot of people who are trying to dig into what's happening and actually find out as being dismissed as extreme right wing. And I, you know, encourage listeners, don't fall for that. Recognize when it's being used, and it's irrelevant anyway. It's just a bunch of labels to make you not think. And what's more important is what's really happening. And if it happens to agree with the so-called right or so-called left, that's really completely meaningless anyway. And we're just trying to find out what's going on, like Celeste said, truthful information. So I don't remember exactly when we talked last, Celeste, but since you've been on, what do you think it's important for people to know is developing at the moment and since then?
So I'm breaking this really interesting story. So, of course, you know that I have a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
And in the book of Exodus, it talks about Moses when he goes up onto Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments.
Right.
That there were there were bricks. And in Jewish tradition and legend, those bricks were sapphire. And that the Ten Commandments, contrary to what we all believe, you know, Charleston Heston coming down with the granite Ten Commandments from the mountain, that they were not really granite at all, that they were sapphire cubes, and that the writing was actually inside the cube, and the sapphire rock formed around it, so that these Ten Commandments were literally written in stone, but inside. And why would that be? Because that way nobody could say, well, Moses took his pen up there on the mountain and did it.
It's like on the computer when you choose prevent editing, right? Or something. Read only.
Right. So here I am. I'm reading through, you know, scientific peer-reviewed journals, and all of a sudden I run across these nanocubes. And so we've talked a little bit about the nanoparticles, but these are nanocubes, but they have some really special properties about them. One is that they will be contain the quantum dot or the quantum or the hydrogel. And they will be in the vaccination. So why did I just, like, when I saw it, I just, like, went into my chair and my jaw dropped and I was, oh, my gosh. So what happened was that what they're doing is using lithography. Have you ever heard of lithography before?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't think I could define it as well as you. So,
lithography is actually writing. So the powers that be, the researchers and the scientists, are writing secret messages on these nanocubes that they are then going to inject into our body. And as far as I'm concerned, it's evil. They also then are using cryptography, which is a way to, like, encrypt those messages so that the average person would not know what those messages were. And then furthermore, maybe a couple weeks ago, I found that they were going to deploy 23 different nano types or classifications of robots in the vaccine, and each one would do a specific thing. And some of these are clamps and different vices and stuff. And what they will do is hold these nanocubes onto your, let's say, red blood cell or onto your bone or onto your organ until it fuses together and your body accepts it. And then the nanocube becomes one with you. And as we talked about previously, then you become one with the quantum computer. And you would not need a device or a wearable or a computer any longer, because you can speak directly to the quantum computer.
So this is transhumanism.
Yes.
Right. And it's melding human with, it's like becoming a cyborg, I guess, to use Terminator terms.
And yes. And actually, they do mention about Terminator, we're all becoming sensors. We are just sensory nodes when we take these things into our body that are registering the environment and sending back those messages to the quantum computer.
Wow. I guess they're not using nano sapphire dust, though, right? It's some other material.
It's the graphene and the hydrogel and quantum dot that has those special and in some circles one might say magical properties to it,
right,
that allow it to do that.
So what was the context of the document that you found this in?
So it was about this particular peer review study was talking about the lithography and the cryptography, and it was like maybe 23 or 25 pages. It did have pictures in it to show the process. It's like a three-step process where they make a foundation, or you have to have a foundation, and then there is the ink, and that's what they would do the writing with. And then there would be like a sealing of that. And then that would be the nano cube. And then what would happen is it is in the nano gel then that gets injected into your body. And then it assembles. And then it starts to grow and spread, and then eventually it crosses your blood-brain barrier, and that's when you become one with the quantum computer. That is a process. Basically, as this hydrogel or quantum dot grows in your body, you become less human, and it grows, and it gets bigger. And that will probably vary from person to person. Like for some people, it might be a very fast process. And in other people, it will be a slower process. But eventually, it does take over your whole body, this quantum gel or quantum dot. And it does kill the person. There was a person that I interviewed on my show, Celestial Wonders, named Barb Wilson, and her daughter was actually experimented on with this technology. And Dr. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon, was the neurosurgeon that opened her daughter's brain. And she asked, as a mom, what did you find? And Dr. Carson said, I don't know. That's when it was all still secret and they were just experimenting with it.
Is that Ben Carson who was a presidential candidate?
Yes. Yes, okay. The very same.
All right.
And so this was written up in science journals. And so he goes, it was like glue. Her whole brain was like glue. Every nook and crevice of her brain was glue. It went down into her brain stem and spinal cord, and it went throughout her nervous system. And it was several years later that she died from this. So it's very important for all of the listeners and viewers out there to not take this into your body. And how are the different ways that you might get this? You might get it. They're going to be making some hydrogel masks, and then you would be breathing in that hydrogel.
They're not going to call those hydrogel masks, right?
I don't know what they're going to call them. I'm just seeing more and more science articles talking about them and how good they are, because they will keep us free from disease.
Right.
So that's the UN mandate, that we are all free from disease. And so they want us to wear these masks.
Yeah.
Another way is
permanently, basically, right?
Yes. Like we'll have to wear masks the rest of our life. And then another way is the testing. If that swab, and we've talked about that swab, it does have the hydrogel and the nano or quantum dot on it. So that's another way it can enter your body. And then the bigger dose would be the vaccination. There are some doctors that are getting quite clever in Mexico, and they know that there's going to be resistance to the vaccine. So they are experimenting, putting the vaccine in a tomato. And so every time you eat a salad or have a pizza or lasagna or however you enjoy tomatoes, you would actually be being dosed with the vaccine.
So this is a genetic engineering project. And it's not like they inject it into the tomato. It's like all the cells of the tomato have it, basically.
Yes. Yes. And it might, you know, the only article that I've seen is on tomatoes, but there may well be other foods that are going to contain this. But the biggest thing, because the vaccines have to be refrigerated. So there's going to be limited ways, unless they develop a vaccine that does not have to be refrigerated, that they can deploy it. Mm-hmm. Now, another common question that I get a lot, and I think we need to talk about, is, are all nanoparticles bad? No. You know, God, creation, there is little fine dust. You see it around your house. I see it around my house. And there's even smaller things at the nano level. And they're not all bad.
Right, but you're talking about the natural ones.
I'm talking about the natural ones.
I would think the question, too, would be, are all synthetic ones bad?
That's where you're going to start, have to get. So I would think of it as the lights, as you're driving, the green light, yellow light, red light. So a natural nanoparticle, I would say, is a green light. You're good to go. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you might, just like you get a whiff of, you know, a powdery substance of some type, you know, you're going to live through it. Or
right.
Now, when you start talking synthetics, you're going to have, that should start sending a message to you, a yellow light. I need to, like, find out more about whatever is being dispersed. Is it, how am I getting this? Is it dangerous? Is it not? I should at least have it on my radar and be doing a little bit of investigation on whether it's a danger to me.
Right.
And then anything with the quantum dot or the hydrogel, that's a red light. Don't take it. Draw your line in the sand. Whatever consequences, unless you want to die a slow and painful death and be just not even a human anymore, but a synthetic entity with an invisible invading army inside your body that's growing, I would not take that, no matter what they promise you. And they're going to promise you longevity. They're going to promise you that your health is going to be better, that whatever ailment you have, they're going to be able to take care of with these products. But you're going to have to use your wisdom and your brain that you were born with, and say, no, I'm not ready to take the consequences of this unknown technology. Because you see, this technology has been around for a long time. I believe it's actually ancient technology that the ancient peoples and civilizations used to have. Right. And then it kind of got lost. There was a lot of a global cataclysm, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then this information was lost, maybe carried by just a few individuals underground, and now it is reemerging. And so not too many people are aware of the technology and the dangers, and that's why we're talking about it today, so that you can learn a little bit about it.
Well, considering the motives of the people that are now in charge, it would be highly unlikely that they would invent some kind of a synthetic nanotechnology if it wasn't going to hurt you in some way.
Well, to me, just the idea of having 23 different classifications of robots crawling over every inch of my body, it creeps me out. I'm sorry. It just creeps me out.
Yeah. And robots are small now, this kind of robot.
So when you think, what am I talking about when I talk about nano? I am talking at the atomic level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the size of an atom is what I'm talking about. And these are actually robots constructed with a hollow belly that has a payload in there that can contain anything. Yeah. And then the ability to move and grow. And some of these robots are autonomous, which means they are almost sentient. They will do what they want to do. They are sentient, autonomous entities, and others have a specific mission, which is given to them by the frequencies that they are exposed to deploy, and where to deploy and how much to deploy into your body.
Right. And when you say whatever the consequences, don't take these things, I have the feeling that there are two ways that they can try to force this. One is, you know, teams of armed men coming to your door, and armed women too. The women are proving they are equal. They can just be as terrible as the men. So it could be a, you know, combination. But the other way is to say, look, it's going to be completely voluntary. You don't have to do any of this stuff if you don't want to. You just can't use money or your bank or your car or go out of your house or eat food or, you know, some of the luxury privileges from government. But you absolutely don't have to take any of it. And I think people are not as clear what to do about that.
So that is actually the foundation of all federal programs. They are all voluntary.
Right.
Even the IRS is voluntary.
Yeah, good point.
So this is the type of voluntary that we're talking about. It's a voluntary coercion. You know, they don't say the coercion part. They just talk about the voluntary part.
Yeah, that's good. So it's not stressful that way.
Yes.
But, I mean, people are still really trying to be creative and looking for responses to that. If you're living in a completely self-sufficient environment, off the grid, and you have all your own food being produced and that sort of thing, other materials that you can barter for, that's probably a pretty good foundational setup. But most people are living in high-rise apartments in dense cities, not very self-sufficient. And they're wondering what to do if it becomes voluntary in that way. And I guess we're still looking for answers on that, right?
Well, the best way is to get prepped as best you can, because basically it is my understanding that one of two scenarios is going to play out. One, they will either lay siege to your home and you'll not be able to come out, and you're not going to be able to go to work or get health care or go to shopping, go to the bank, unless you're compliant. And there's another one that basically in Montana that has started, which is what we talked about last time, is that people are being issued 2-week notices for eviction from their rental or their home. And the buzz is right now that the FEMA camps are up and ready to go operational. Yeah. And so because you are evicted from your home, they're going to pry you out of your home. And then supposedly you'll go to these camps. And many people have the false idea that they're going to be spending a lot of time at the camps, that if they obey the rules and do certain things, that they'll live out their natural life. When in fact, really the plan is depopulation at these camps. Because you have, just by the mere fact that you're at the camp, means that you're not a compliant person. So you are going to be put in the depopulation line.
Yeah, and actually, there's a good example of that kind of early version of it being shown in New Zealand, I think.
Yes.
Obviously, it's okay because it's a woman president or prime minister. But the basic idea is that if you don't agree to be tested, I think now they're setting it up so you go to these camps. It's not a theory for the future.
Yeah, and now the camps are springing up all over the United States. And really, they can be your Walmart. They could be a Target. These malls that are now virtually abandoned because they've driven all the mom and pop stores out could right. easily be converted to a temporary public reception center is what they are actually called.
Right. A place to keep you safe from all the stresses of the world.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting, speaking of corporations like the ones you mentioned and others, that most people don't realize the degree of collusion between the large corporations. But from a lot of the clues that we have, it looks like the vast majority, almost all of them, are working in harmony as if they were parts of one company, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hydra. Whether it's right. government or public, it's kind of like this hydra with multiple arms and tentacles. And, you know, you might chop off one and then another one pops up uh-huh. someplace. It's pretty discouraging in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it can be. And so, you know, some of the demonstrators in the cities now that are trying to burn down the country and in the UK and what used to be Europe and places like that, there's some of them are saying that they're against fascism, and that's why they're being willing to help us so much by burning down the buildings and beating people up and shooting them, you know, for our future benefit and of society. But actually, most of them, I would guess, have no idea what fascism is and what they're supposedly protesting and what you're defining as fascism by the classical definition. You know, that Mussolini called corporatism, and is government and corporations merging. And I think most of the government agencies now are actually for-profit corporations. They just forgot to mention it, right?
Yeah, they don't mention it, except our president on Friday the 13th in March uh-huh. did go public and basically announced to the United Nations and the world that all these corporations were working hand in hand, married, if you will, which is the very definition of fascism.
Right, right. He didn't say how he was going to fix it, though, I don't think. But that was about when the lockdown started in the U.S. It's about that
yeah,
time.
He didn't say how he was going to fix it, but that they were all working together for the same goal.
It is amazing.
Against this invisible enemy.
Yeah, for our own protection. And I know that long before the lockdown stuff started, years before, anybody that would go against the narrative of even health agencies back then found out by demonstration that all the corporations were working together, because they would lose PayPal accounts and bank accounts and Uber privileges and all kinds of things which seem disconnected to most people.
Yeah, it's a brave new world we live in these days.
We're in a really unusual situation.
Yeah, there's really never been a time in history. There have been conquerors before that conquered this territory or that, mm-hmm. but we're talking about the whole world now under right. these guidances and mandates and different things.
Yeah, I was talking about that to somebody this morning and just observing that if there was a literal invasion of some other country's troops coming into whatever country you're in, that's really nothing compared to what's actually happening. And this is at a level way beyond the world wars and all that. But it's being kept very nice and, you know, beneficial and peaceful and pleasant. And some of the people leading it wear really mild pink sweaters and other kinds of clothes like that. And, you know, talk in non-threatening voices that are scientific.
So basically, I know that a lot of people are expecting a big World War III. And I believe that World War III will actually happen in the physical because of the environmental changes and because of the disruption of the whole world and this new world order coming into being. But my concern is that I really believe that World War III has already begun, and it's this invisible stealth army that is invading our bodies and our minds. Mm-hmm. And that to me is bigger than any physical battle, because we are literally fighting to the battle to retain our humanity.
So there's two levels happening in that right now. One is represented by the lockdowns, I guess, and all the physical punishment, like in Australia, of the people who dare to defy it. But the other one is with your cells in your body, right? Which is what you're referring to.
Yes, because these nanocubes are held by clamps and other nanorobots until it's fused into your body, until it's just one with your body. And you might ask the question, well, doesn't your body recognize it as a foreigner and an invader and go out and attack it and make war against it? No, your body doesn't. It's been made with certain coatings on it to be stealth. It's like a cloaking device or camo. And so your body does not recognize these nanocubes as being a threat or a danger or an invading army.
Is that similar to what they do when they have to fix your bones in a bad accident? You've got certain bones that are shattered and they have to put a brace inside the bone and they can't afford to have it rejected, right? So they must have some kind of technology to prevent that, that they use.
Well, so I don't know if you can see, but I've broken both my wrists, and so I have plates holding them together. So basically, this is the same principle is happening at the molecular level inside your body with these nano robots that have invaded, and then they're holding the nano cubes to your body until your body just absorbs it.
People have also been talking about the idea that in the geoengineering spray residue that's being sprayed over everybody, that there are some similar components in that as well. Have you heard about that?
I haven't. It wouldn't surprise me, because like if they're going to put it in the tomato, and they are expecting a large portion of the population that will refuse the vaccine, so they're going to get clever and figure out other ways. So it would not surprise me if they did not add that as an element to the geoengineering program, but I have not heard of it.
It's very efficient, because most of us are still addicted to breathing air at this point.
One of those things we must do.
Yeah. So, you know, what it looks like to me is you can avoid as much as you can, but if there's some of it that's almost inevitable, like if it's in food or water or air or things like that, then we need a whole new real science of detoxing these things out of the body before they get irrevocably hooked in. I don't know what that
would
be.
Yeah, and that part, you know, this technology has been around for a while, but not how to counter it. I've heard some people say borax, other people say, keep, eat an alkaline system. But I really don't know what will, because these are part synthetic, part biological entities. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how to, once they're in your body, to get them out, or how long it takes them to fuse with your tissue. So the best stand that you can make right now is don't get tested.
Yeah.
And then also most definitely do not get the vaccine, multiple vaccines. They're saying it's not going to be just one vaccine. It is going to be a minimum of two. And for some people, they want it like every 2 weeks or once a month.
Yeah, I think they realized, wow, we're just about to give 7 billion vaccines. Do you have any idea how much money that is? And they thought, wait a minute, why would you only have to do that once? Once we get permission to do it at all, it should be all the time, every day if possible. But to do that, they've got to keep people alive long enough to do all that too. Some of this might not be very healthy.
No, it's not healthy. And I don't think that their interest is to keep us alive. This is a depopulation mechanism or tool.
Right. Yeah, what I've found and the conclusion I've come to is that the money motive and being in the elite remnant and special privileges in that is what's told to the servants. So that, because if you told them that it's to, you know, eliminate everybody, it might be bad for morale of the people working for the dark side of the whole thing. So they say, you're going to be incredibly, you know, rich and have freedom to do anything you want in the world and all this stuff, if you just follow orders.
Yeah, it's played out in history before. And that's one reason that we can't be complicit with this mask wearing thing. Because one, it makes us, they're trying to erase our humanity.
Right.
And trying to get us to obey orders that make no sense whatsoever.
Exactly.
And so what we need to do is use our brain that we have and say no and start resisting now at the mask level before we're forced with the testing all the time and also the vaccination.
I think that they agree with you that would be really important because that's what they're trying to prevent. And in the lockdowns, one of the things that they take away is your ability to be around other people because you might talk about doing something, right? It prevents dissension, or seems to. So they have to censor social media for that too, which they're doing. I mean, they're doing all that stuff. In the U.S., it's encoded into the First Amendment and, you know, the ability to peacefully gather to protest and, I mean, not burn down cities, obviously, but to decide how to protest about what's going on. So that's all canceled temporarily. And what they're not letting people remember is that if you have unalienable rights, which is what it says in the Declaration, I believe, of Independence, then it doesn't matter if there's an emergency. They can't ever be taken away. And it doesn't matter if you live in America. You have the same rights.
Absolutely.
Anywhere in the world.
By the very virtue that you're human, you have these rights.
Exactly. And they didn't come from the United Nations or from government or anything like that. So in a way, that's kind of the basic issue because they're all making the assumption if there's an emergency and if it's really bad, even if it's not really bad, but if it's an official emergency, then you don't have any rights.
And they are assuming that we will do anything it takes to be safe, that we will sell ourselves out. We will actually take something that will kill us to save us. And if that isn't the stupidest thing, I mean, that's if you boil it down, that's what it is. They're saying,
yeah, that's the new logic.
Yeah.
And it goes along with a bumper sticker that I saw in the 60s when they were getting into all the things that you should not do so that you wouldn't hurt the earth, and they're saying, save the earth, kill yourself. And that was actually somewhat logical, because if you think that humans are absolutely terrible and the earth is good, then that makes sense. But to kill yourself to save yourself, that's the next level of backwards logic, right?
Although I don't think the person in the 60s that did that paper that said, kill yourself to save the earth. I bet you they didn't lead by example and kill themselves.
No, because somebody had to stay around to keep telling the other people how to do it. You know, it was actually a selfless gesture on their part. But so yeah, now it's a matter of, in fact, the founders of America were saying, I should remember, which one was it that said, was it Benjamin Franklin or somebody else? Somebody else who said, whoever gives up freedom for security won't have either one.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how much are these new documents coming out? Is it just a constant stream of them now?
It's like a fire hose. It is unbelievable how many articles are just, I mean, literally, like, imagine a firefighter with his hose putting out a fire, an apartment fire, let's say, or right. A house fire. That's how much material now is coming out from every angle. They are just assuming that this is our new reality. And we were just kind of joking before we went on air about only Martian lives matter. Well, yes. It's a matter of only nanocube lives matter. They're making it that this is our present reality, and that we've accepted it. But what we have to do is use our brain and with the wellspring of the human spirit, say no to this technology.
Well, and it seems like the time to say that is easier when the issue is masks than more serious invasive things, right?
Yes.
But, you know, there are, like, I was at a store this morning. It was a food store, and the lady whose job it was to stand at the door and make sure everybody was nicely informed that they should wear a mask. I said, no, I'm exempt, referring to the exemption that they all have that you're not supposed to know about. And thank you very much. I learned by experience, you know, if what you want is a good result, don't make a fight out of it, because these are actually human beings trying not to get fired and doing whatever they're told because they otherwise can't survive. So it's not their fault. And I was saying, I was being really nice to her and said, you know, I'm exempt, but I also have this other background and know that masks are really harmful to you and they cut down your oxygen and they recirculate toxins and do all kinds of things. They even hurt your teeth, not to mention, you know, your ability to interact with anybody. And she said, oh, I know, and gave me a whole bunch of statistics about what they do to people. And she said, I just, you know, this is what they make me say. So a lot of the people are aware of it, but they're afraid to be the first one to refuse it because they see nothing changing and them just getting fired. I think that's the impasse right now.
Well, there are going to be consequences when we say no to this technology, but we are at the point now that if you want to be a human yeah. being, as you were born,
right.
And developed and got to experience all these wonderful emotions and experiences throughout life, if you want that to continue, we have to say no. Even if it costs us our job, it might cost us financial, it might cost us time, we might have to do a lawsuit, we might have to be drug away, and even face execution. There yeah. have been people that lost their lives to establish this country where we have freedom.
That's right. That's right.
And so we may be called to make that ultimate sacrifice to preserve the human race.
Yeah, because the tyranny that the American founders were running away from was really mild compared to what there is now.
Yes.
Right. Interesting. So why do they have to put out all these new papers? Haven't they got it all covered by now? I mean, what do they still need to say?
It's just new. Like I said, it's different angles and there's new technology. I haven't even been through my new journals. They usually come out on Sunday. I actually get them twice a week, but I haven't had time to go through all of the ones from Sunday because each one has maybe 40 articles, each journal, and I get about 50 journals.
Wow.
And they have no ends of detail to be that only technical people you visit, but somebody has to let the average person out there, each man and woman, know what is in these journals and how it's going to impact their lives. And that's what I do at thecelestialreport.com.
So you're a professional translator.
Yes.
Right? Government language into human language.
Yes.
And maybe all those journals coming out more and more is like, remember the old principle of overkill? When they were talking about the Cold War and the people were saying, well, why does the Soviet Union and America each have to have enough nuclear missiles to kill the world 50 times or something like that? And it's like overkill. They want overkill, the capacity to do it in case 98% of the missiles fail. The rest of them will do the job and everybody will be dead anyway.
Well, so, it's also to overcome our response. Right now, right. We are being hit with a fire hose of information and nobody can know it all. That's why we need to really appreciate each different alternative media site and support them for the unique perspective each one brings to the table, because not all of us have all the information. It is too vast.
Yeah,
it is coming at us at hypersonic speed.
And we need to find a way where the isolation is not successful, right? Because the isolation is a big element right now. They figure that resistance and dissent are much worse to deal with if you let the subservient humans get together in groups. So, for example, they're arresting people in Australia right now. This one major case was, I guess, a lady in her house. And she was pregnant. You probably saw the video. And she was getting arrested in front of her kids. And she was, I guess, in pajamas. And she was an hour away from an appointment to go for a pregnancy checkup. And the police came in and arrested her. And she said, "What? What did I do? You know, I didn't do anything." And they said, "Yes, you posted a notice on Facebook that you were going to organize an anti-lockdown protest. So we have to take you away." And this is, you know, visible. And another guy very much like that, he wasn't pregnant, but he was in a big house on the second floor. And it was real early in the morning, and this group of SWAT team officers was at his door saying, "Open the door." You know, he's saying, "What did I do? I didn't do anything." And they said, "Yeah, you made a post criticizing the lockdown on social media." And he said he was trying to talk to him and say, "That's not against the law. You know, we're supposed to be able to say things like that. It's nonviolent. It's actually educational." And they said, "Fine," and just smashed his whole door down, came in and arrested him. So they're really trying out the next stage in Australia, apparently. See what that's like. But that's an acknowledgement that some means of communication between people to cooperate in this stuff is really important, that it would be useful. That's why they're arresting those people.
And I think it's really important for all of us to take note that we should have some type of recording device, because we never know if you are going to stand up in resistance. That you do want to have that conversation recorded so that it's not a he said, she said, and usually it's the official or that is the one in the right, and you're just the dumb citizen and you're in the wrong.
Right.
So you really do want whatever conversations you're in to be recorded.
That's why we're able to see those two cases that I mentioned, because they did do that. So anybody that's not used to taking videos with your phone, it would be good to take a few minutes and learn how to do that. It's really easy. There's like two buttons and that's about it. So do you have any idea what to expect in the future documents coming out at this point based on what you've seen so far? If you had to guess.
I think we're building to lockdown too. I think once fall, now that the holiday weekend in the United States is over, you know, everybody's sights are on the fall. And I'm seeing all sorts of things like the government is preparing for an electromagnetic pulse event. And of course, that the World Economic Forum already said that the power was going to go out. So people need to be preparing for that, as right. well as the back. What are you going to do personally when you are required to take that vaccination? You have to, in your mind, go over the dangers and the what they say are the benefits, and you're going to have to figure out how, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it?
Right.
And you have to have a couple plans too. Like if I might be able to shelter in place in my home, I have food, I have water, I have medical supplies, but you may also be evicted from your home. And right. so do you have a to-go pack that you can grab in 15 seconds that has some food, has some clothes, has some water in it, and has some medical supplies?
Right, right. And there's one version where you drive away and one where you walk away, right? They're different.
Yes. Although the to-go pack, you could put it in your car or you could just walk away.
Right. So. Yeah, the real question with that is most people don't have any idea where they would go.
And you see, that's, you know, they're making this situation so that then you will go to the public reception
exactly,
center,
be safe.
Which is
food, they'll give you a bed, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, that's going to be strong motivation. I bet you most people will do that. Rather than walk around and have no idea what they're going to do.
But just remember what happened during the Holocaust. And this generation of evil is much more lawless and wicked than even Hitler was.
Yeah, Hitler had a lot of help from higher ups too. And yeah, this is like a much more advanced level exercise. That was just a little beta test on a small scale compared to it. Yeah. So we need some creative ideas at this point, it seems to me, right? On not just how to maybe survive an extra week or something like that, but how to turn it around. I know
more. Well, the best way to start is with your own self, with your own attitude. Embrace your humanity.
Yeah.
Have a grateful and thankful heart every day for each situation, whether right. it's difficult or easy. You can embrace it. You can learn from it. We were given a brain. Use it, because if you do not use your brain, you will lose your cognitive ability.
Right.
You will lose the ability to think, and then you become a victim of government messaging. So yeah. those are three really easy steps that everyone can do, and it doesn't cost you any money, is to embrace your humanity and it just be grateful for every blessing and challenge that you have in your life, and mm-hmm. to use your brain. And yeah. that's a good diving board for whatever comes our way.
So it's change of attitude, right? It reminds me of when you were talking, I got the image of a tree that you plant, and if it's immobilized with total protection from stakes, it stays weak and it gets too tall for the trunk diameter. But if you let it move a little bit, you know, it can develop some resistance and strength. And so the challenges can be seen as terrible misfortunes and just feel really bad about it, which hurts your body even to have that attitude. Or you can say, thank you for the test. Please let me see what it means and how to respond to it. Opportunity.
That's what I always do. And that's what we did in the agency that I work for, is that there would be an exercise. And then afterwards, we all got together and did a hot wash or a lessons learned. Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes we did really good and sometimes we just fell flat on our face. Right. But we were better prepared the next time, although the next time came and the same situation happened. Some things we did good and other things we fell flat on our face. So right. We can each apply that to our lives.
Yeah, I totally agree. Before we end up here, in case people don't know, I want you to go over what activities you're doing now in your own site, your own meetings, and the different levels people can get involved in if they'd like to learn from that.
So I've got articles Monday through Friday. I do a daily briefing behind the scenes with Celeste, and that is at shepherdsheart.life behind the scenes. And then I have the Celestial Report that if you want in-depth news and video coverage, you can join me at celestialreport.com and have access to that. And that platform and your contribution helps to provide many things. I do a two-hour Q&A every week. It's a community meeting this week on Tuesday. It's on Tuesdays, but this week we're not going to meet because we're going to have a meet on Friday and have a special 9/11, September 11th memorial service and a Q&A. And I am going to answer any question that my audience has on FEMA. So I'm going to open up. I'm going to be really vulnerable. And I'm going to tell all in whatever questions the audience wants. So it'll be kind of exciting. So I have different live events. I hold classes, everything from making bread to canning to gardening to how to survive, you know, a hostile environment. And, of course, all the news in science, government, military, and medicine that I'm known for.
Right. And so that people can sign up for that at celestialreport.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can pay monthly or annually and get a discount. And so that's my new platform.
Definitely worthwhile. I think everybody should go check that out immediately. And so that's all at celestialreport.com. What part is at shepherdsheart.life?
I do my articles, so I do some in-depth articles, and then also my behind-the-scenes with Celeste, which is a situational awareness. I cover everything from ancient civilizations to what's going on in government, military, medicine, what's going up in the heavens, what's going on with the food supply. So I have like a template that I follow, and then I just plug in the most critical news. And so it'll just have a heading, an image. It'll give a one paragraph description of that. I do a commentary of why I put this in the briefing for the day, and then a link that you can go to in your own time if it's something that you're interested in.
Right. It sounds great. So... okay, well, good start would be for everybody to do a self-assessment of attitude and then maybe physical preparedness and whatever situation you're in. I mean, if you can't do anything, maybe you could get some water. You know, that's going to be the first thing you notice that you need, right, besides air. And some storage where it's not going to go bad. And then think about food and basic materials and other things after that. So there are things we can do. And also, like you said, be not forgetting your humanity and your connection to other people and the quality of your interaction, because, you know, the government is giving us a lot of guidance that's very valuable now. And when they want to cut off your interaction with the mask, that's telling you, you know, they wouldn't do that unless that was a really powerful, good thing that they want to cut off. So go in the opposite direction. It's usually pretty reliable. I mean, occasionally government maybe by mistake or for some nefarious reason might tell the truth about something, and you have to be kind of on your guard for that. But most of the time, it's pretty safe that if you reverse it, it's really valuable guidance. So we can be working on that till we come up with the rest of the protocol to reverse the whole thing, which hopefully we'll do soon.
So actually, I am working on something right now that will be really practical tools for people and things that they can do. So I am in the process of constructing that. So that will be coming to you before too long.
Is that going to be written form or videos, or what is it going to be?
It will definitely be written, but it will also, I'll be doing some videos on it.
Okay. Yeah, that should be great. And that doesn't seem too far away in the future, time-wise, at the moment?
Yeah, I think maybe it's going to take me 6 weeks to get it together, you know, just because I have a pretty bit full schedule, you know, so I have to kind of do my homework in off hours, but I'm working on it, and I'm really excited about the project.
Good. It sounds 6 weeks is fast. That'll be here in 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, I have to ask you one more thing, because 6 weeks brings us into late October, right? And that is less than a month out from the U.S. election. Do you have any feeling at all about what trends you expect to see happening between now and getting up to the day of the election, and what the strategy of the powers that be might be about that?
So I am so not an election person because they have gone to electronic voting, which I think that there's no accountability. Fraud is so easy. That's got this possible EMP power outage that could throw the things, like what happens if all these votes come in and then that's when the power goes out.
Right.
Conveniently.
And
either lost or that the information is corrupted, you know?
Good point. Right.
There's that. So I think it's going to be the typical mudslinging election season that it always is. It'll be interesting to see, because this vaccination, I believe, is going to start on October 15th. So if people start dropping dead from it immediate, if there's some immediate response, that's not going to bode well for the current president.
Right. Because it'll be his fault. And in fact, they're already saying this is going to be unsafe because it comes through him.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a wild card right now, but quite frankly, I don't know. There isn't a strong leader that all of us would agree what is a really quality leader, as in old fashioned leadership.
And so with the awareness of what's going on.
Yeah. So I think it's just going to be a wicked problem, and a wicked problem is something that has no solution. So we're going to be choosing the lesser of evils, and that it doesn't bode well for us. So that's why I'm really encouraging personal things that you can do personally to maintain your humanity and be grateful and use your brain, and just at a personal level. And, you know, I don't know that it's possible at this point to solve the political issue. So
Right. It may be that all the solutions have to come through the people themselves.
Which is how our country was founded.
That's supposed to be the idea, yeah. It's odd that that would be considered strange anyway. We just have to shake off the hypnosis and stand up again. So, all right. Hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here, and hopefully we'll stay in touch so we'll know when your preparation guide is going to come out.
Okay, I'll keep you posted.
Sounds good. Okay, hold on. Okay, you guys, that was Celeste Solem, former FEMA insider, person with great talent at translating documents, which is very useful since a lot of what our rulers intend to do to us, I was going to say with us, but no, it's mostly to us, are in documents. And I think there are rules that they follow on a higher level that they have to give some kind of a notice, especially for the really nasty ones, but really for all of them. And Celeste knows how to read and translate those, so it's very valuable. A lot of people are belonging to her private group where you have access to all of her inside information and interaction, and that's at celestialreport.com. CELESTIAL report.com. And there is a small subscription fee to belong there. I think it's $25 a month, but a lot of people feel it's so valuable that they pay higher amounts like that just to help her keep going. And some of it's potentially life-saving information and work. So I really support that idea. And anyway, all of her information is accessible that way. And she's doing a great service. She's, you know, really attacked a lot by some of the people for it, but that goes with the terrain and is just understood to do that. So support Celeste however you can. I think it's a really good idea, and partake of her private group if you get the opportunity to do that. And the other site that she's still got is shepherdsheart.life, shepherdsheart.life, and that one has a lot of free articles and blog material, and that's available for anybody. You don't have to join anything. Shepherdsheart.life, so check that out too. There's a lot of good information there. I think that's about it. We covered a lot. Make sure you know about other shows on Saturday. We've got usually a current events related show called Lost Arts Radio Live, which is literally live other than the rare time when we have to pre-record it, but it's almost always live. That's at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time Saturday, 7:30 Eastern for an hour, and then we have a half-hour break. And then we have our private group, which is Planetary Healing Club, and that meets starting at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern, because there's a half-hour break there. And if you want to have access to that, it's through planetaryhealingclub.com. Check that out. There's a video or two there that you can see about it. I'm about to put another one. And if you have questions about it, just write richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'll help you see whether that's something worthwhile for you to do. It's really not for everybody. It's for people that want to do some of the deeper work on themselves, and they're really ready to start going to the next level of what all this is about. Because upgrading our own physical health, mental and emotional and other levels of health, is critical to being able to make your best contribution to the world. And most of us would like to do that soon, before it gets really difficult to contribute to it. We've still got some opportunities. That's what that group is about, to work on our own different levels of health and also consciousness tools to make it all work better. And you'd be invited if you decide it's something you're interested in. Other than that, we're not doing commercials right now. We haven't up to now. And if you want us to stay on the air, you might consider contributing to our work at lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button there, and also at lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's our nonprofit. And if we get enough funds in, we'll be able to start building the school that we have on hold right now, waiting for money. So help us if you can, and subscribe to us at brighteon.com /channel/Lost Arts Radio for a non-censored platform in case we can't be found on other ones at a certain point, which could happen. Other than that, I think that's about it. I really appreciate all you guys, and consider you the stars of this whole show that could turn everything around in the world. I mean, you have so much power and brilliance yourself as a single individual that you're not supposed to know about. That's what has to be accessed. So when I say take care of yourself as a way to contribute to the world, I mean that literally. Get your health back as much as you can. Find out the natural ways to do that that don't hurt you. And then get going with the inner work at the same time, and we still have a chance. Even this late in the game, I think it can still be done. So thanks for being here and the time that you spend with us. Really admire and appreciate each one of you. And just want to say thank you, and we'll see you here next time. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener form as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Far away from you, please know that much. Cause you've got so much to give. I'm asleep. Oh, please don't you leave.